Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every Transfiguration Sunday, I have a problem because I have to preach on these words. And 2 years ago, I had a eureka experience, and I said, I don't have to do that. I'm going to ask somebody else to. So last year, I had Ken Carlson preach on Transfiguration. Now, Ken has this magnificent voice. Somebody said, it's the voice of God. And so anytime he opens his mouth, someone said he could read the newspaper and people would listen. And so he talked about the Transfiguration in such lovely terms, and I was caught up in it. And I thought, oh, this year I'll do the same thing. Except Ken left for Florida yesterday. And so have me stuck here today. So I had to think about it. Why is it that I have such a problem with the Transfiguration? It's not that I don't believe, but it's because it's an experience that I can't control. And if anyone can tell you this, I'm sure you've seen it, this pastor loves to be in control. I've always been this way. When I had to get my wisdom teeth out, the dentist offered to put me under. I said, no way. I want to be conscious and hear what you're doing to me. I have to be in control. That's why I appreciate the Apostle Peter, because Peter wanted to be in control. Peter was a go-getter. Peter was like me. I would say, don't just sit there, do something. And Peter liked to do things. Now, he was a man of tremendous faith, and he was a man of great spiritual depth, but he needed to be doing something. So when they get up to the mountain and he sees Jesus transfigured, rather than stand in awe of that mountainous moment, he figured, I got to do something. Let's build 3 booths. And then we can charge admission. Well, he didn't say that, but that would have been my thought. You know, we could really make some money on this movement if you had this booth up and you have this attraction going. And he said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the building. And I'm sure after he said that, he started to make out the plans, because the Bible says God interrupted him. While he was still speaking, God, I guess, had enough. And he overshadows the group, and we hear the voice of God talking about Jesus. And I wonder if there was an inflection of aggravation in God's voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And so the people, James, John, and Peter, fall down on their faces, and then Jesus calls them up and gets them standing up, and then they go down the mountain to do something. My mantra is, don't just sit there, do something. But sometimes we need to say, don't just do something, sit there. There are times when we need that glimpse of the holy. There are times that we need to hear the voice of God. And it's important to do. But the only way we can be effective doing is when we take the time to listen to the voice of God. I think of those 3 men, Peter, James, and John. We often skip over the bad parts, and we look at Palm Sunday, we look at the Transfiguration and all these wonderful glimpses of God, the resurrection. But Peter, James, and John did not have what we would call a happy and good life. James was martyred soon after Jesus' resurrection. The king Herod decided that a beheading was in order, and James was his victim. And unfortunately, it says that the people were really thrilled about that, so he was hunting for more of Jesus' followers. Peter, history tells us, was executed by crucifixion. And the absolute cruelty of that was they sent his wife before him so he could see her die first. And he called after her and said, "Remember the Lord." John was the only one, they say, who lived till old age. But what a life did he have? He had to be underground for many years. He had faced challenges. These were not easy lives. How did they stay true and faithful? Peter said in his letter, "I got a glimpse. I saw the majesty." And that brief moment was enough to keep him on a straight path till journey's end. We are not promised a good and easy life. And there are times in the midst of our doing that we have to sit there and hear the voice of God. And we don't have to climb a mountain. I'm glad about that because I'm not much of a physical fitness expert. I would not be climbing too many mountains to find God. I can sit in the quietness of my life and hear the voice of God. We're so lucky here in Ephraim, we can walk out the door and see the voice of God and all the beauty around us. Each and every day, before we get up and do, we need to sit and listen for the voice of God. I have a dear friend pastor who told me a story about when he was a young pastor, and he didn't know much about sociology. He was a newly married guy. He didn't have a family yet, so he didn't really have much in the way of advice to people. And there was a father in his church who was, now this is back in the 60s when dad went to work and mom most of the time stayed home. He was a very successful business executive. He had two young children and a wife, and he was having a terrible time. He and his wife were fighting all the time. He was yelling at the kids. He was in such stress in his work environment. And so he went to his young pastor and asked for advice. Well, my friend said, you know, I couldn't tell him much because I didn't know much. But one thing I knew, and I said to him, "Why don't you commit this to God? And for a few minutes in each day, pray before you start the day that the Lord would help you. And take that time to commune with the Lord." Well, he saw the man a week later, and he asked how things were going, and the young man said, "Oh, it's going wonderfully. I'm getting up earlier because that's the only time I have where I can be alone, and I'm committing my day to the Lord, and I'm seeing such progress." Well, a month later, my friend went back to this man and said, "How is it going?" And he said, "Terrible." Well, there was panic in this young pastor because he thought, I told him that God would help him, and I guess God's not helping him. And then he said, "I'm too tired to get up in the morning, so I'm not getting up in the morning, and things aren't going well." And I guess he couldn't make the connection. When he got up and he put his day in God's hands, he had a very different attitude. Tomorrow morning, we're going to get up and we're going to do. There's so much to do, so much good that can be done just here in Door County. But we need those glimpses. We need the time where we can focus on the voice of God. Have you heard his voice lately? We hear it in the hymns. We hear it in the spoken word. We hear it when we go out to the shore and look over this expanse, how beautiful it is. So tomorrow, instead of getting up and doing, let us sit for a while and listen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that even for those of us who want to grab life by the throat, even for those of us who see all the things that we can be doing and must do in this life, I ask that you would help us to hear the still small voice, to be in your presence, so that we have strength for the journey ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.